vacation long, preparing, delivery. Did I get an A? Okay, great. Maybe I'll add a joke here from time to time. But one of the things that we saw while we were down there, we went to one of these little outlet mall things. You know, you always go on vacation. You've already spent money to get there and spent money to stay there and spent money to eat there, but you also go to shop there. So we went to this little outlet mall in Destin called the Destin Commons, and it's got shops of all kinds, different departmental outlets. And one particular shop was doing a taste test. They were selling some products, and they had a little taste test outside of their shop. And I actually set up a bit of a taste test here, and Terry said he would be my volunteer. Terry, come on up. And basically, we got three different kinds of water here. Three different kinds of water. And Terry, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take a taste from number one, and then just tell me what it tastes like. Carbonated water, a little fizzy. Let's take a shot at number three. Now, what do you think about me? I'm not setting him up for something. It's a taste test. Tastes like water. Tastes like regular water. Well, Terry, you stand right there, and so maybe to the side so they all can see. Behind bottle number one was lemon juice. He had a good swallow of real lemon, very sour, little tart there. Behind bottle number two was club soda, which some people like to drink, but I think it tastes really disgusting. It's just club soda. That one you said was a little carbonated, a little fizzy. And behind number three was just regular, pure water. That's what you said tastes like. Let's give Terry a hand. You did great. Three different kinds of water. A water that is bitter or sour. A water that is fizzy or carbonated. And a water that is pure or filtered or refined. Today I want to share from Exodus chapter 15 and Exodus chapter 17 about drinking water. Actually, we have studied over the last few weeks about walking, and now we're going to talk about walking without water. Let me help us recap where we've been. You find Exodus 15 and Exodus 17, but I just want to recap where we have been and where we are going. I want to say thank you to the Witham family who made me my own walking stick. And they even included some beads with my name on it. So now as I take my boys out to the Clay Hill Forest, I have my own walking stick. But you remember where we've been. Exodus chapter 12, we started 3 weeks ago, actually 4 weeks ago now, where we learned about the children of Israel, the people of God, exiting Egypt. The exit. The exodus simply means the exit. And in Exodus chapter 12, we learned that after 450 years of slavery, finally, through the work of God, and through the plagues, and through the work of Moses, Pharaoh finally let the people go. And as they exited Egypt, we learned an overarching principle that you can't go with God and stay with God. And that we all have Egypts that we need to leave. We all have places that we need to exit. We all have things in our lives that we need to let go of in order to follow God toward His promise. Exodus chapter 13, we landed at the first big crossroads. We learned that there were multiple routes, multiple routes, and we learned that the children of Israel had three options. They could take the way along the sea, they could take the middle cut throughs, the shortcut, or they could follow the longest, hardest road. And through God's leadership, through the pillar of fire and the pillar of army was barreling down behind them, and this huge body of water was in front of them, and they were literally crying out to Moses and to God, would it have not been better for us to die in Egypt? Would it not have been better for us to just stay back there? What did you do? Bring us out here so that we can be buried along the sea coast? We read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Moses saying back to the people, take courage, stand firm. You shall see the salvation of the Lord today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. And we learned that Moses took that staff and placed it in the water, and the waters parted, and the people of God walked through on dry land. And as the Egyptians followed them after, the waters came crushing down. Exodus 12, Exodus 13, Exodus 14, and you know what God has been speaking to you. Leave behind your Egypt. Take the hard road. Let God fight for you. Be silent. Take courage. Stand firm. Today we will talk about three watering holes, but I don't want to miss. I want to tell you where we're going, because I want you to make the next three Sundays the most important three Sundays you can. So I want you to know where we're going. Reverent, focused on God, making Him great, making His presence known, and we are going to invite you to come next week as we approach the mountain of God. I would actually like to invite you to wear a white suit get the water that you need, all sorts of things will start happening. You will become weak. You will become fatigued. You will become crazy with thirst. You will think about water. You will imagine water. We all have seen movies of someone stranded on an island, and they begin seeing things, mirages, because their mind is so bent on water that right in the sand they'll see a clear, fresh water. Maybe you saw the movie Castaway with Tom Cruise. He begins going crazy. He begins talking to a volleyball named Wilson, because his basic needs are being unmet. And water is one of those primary ones. I have been a fan of the TV reality show Survivor for years. I'm one of those guys. I've watched literally every season. I think they're in like 20-something. And you always know one of the very first things they have to find after arriving on the island is the watering hole. Because they can not compete and they can't survive. They can go without food or minimal food, but water is essential, and they got to go to that water hole every day, and then they got to boil the water and purify the water, because water is of essence to life. There's a reason all the planets in the world have yet to find human life or intelligent, tangible life. It's because there has been no planets yet found with viable sources of water. Now, Mars has got little droplets, but not enough for life. You see, water is so important. The people of God have been 3 days now since passing the Red Sea, and water is low. It's 5 million people, five million thirsty people. It's children craving water and asking parents for water. It's elderly saying, do you have anything to drink? It's the livestock are beginning to die because they also need water. It's millions of people dying of unclean water. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found water. And they came to Mara, and couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, they drank water. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a law. And he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God. days without water. There's 5 million people. There are children and elderly and sick and livestock who are all now thirsty. The physical needs of thirst are being completely unmet. And now that they're being squeezed, what's coming out? Thank you. just a pent-up bottle of water. There is quarrelsomeness in you, so much so that you're constantly under pressure. You're constantly fizzing. I see this with people who have the issue of anger and rage. They're like a pressurized bottle waiting to explode. In my life, I've seen some really, really sweet, humble people who on the outside are calm, cool, and collected, but on the inside, and just in the right moment, just in the right time, just in the wrong place, and in the wrong word, that fizz explodes. And if you've ever been on the other side of one of those explosions, it's not a fun place to be in. Some of you have that quarrelsome attitude. On the outside, you're calm, you're cool, you're collected, you're under control, but on the inside, you're boiling, you're raging, you're violently fizzing, and it's just the moment, it's just an opportunity, it's just a wrong spoken word by someone you love or someone you work with, and you blow up in rage and in anger and in malice, and things that you would never ever say come spewing out of your mouth. You can never get those words back. You can never ever heal that violence. You see, the people of God are quarrelsome. They're quarrelsome. The needs of being thirsty have been left unmet now. First 3 days, and God makes the bitter water sweet for the law. It's been more days now, and God did something back there, but He hasn't done it now, and it's pent up, and it's angry, and it's fusing, and at one point there is going to be an explosion, and they're going to quarrel. And this is what happens. Whereas bitterness begins with a seed that blossoms into all kinds of things, quarrels Scripture and how Scripture connects together from the old to the middle to the new. It's all woven. It's one story about God's redemptive work through Christ. But in Psalm 78, about 1,000 years after the Meribah and Marah incidents, the psalmist writes about them and he speaks about them. And I don't want this to become the testimony of you if you're a person that deals with rage. Psalm 78, verse 10 to 22 speaks about that. It's a song. It says they did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to His law. They forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, He performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, He led them and all the night with the fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still, rebelling against the Most High. They tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can He also give bread or provide meat for His people?" Bitterness grows into is rage and anger and malice and clamor and slander. But what quarrelsome grows into is a denial that God even exists. So this is how it works. You ask God to save a person you love and He didn't do it. Or you ask God to protect you from someone else and yet you were still victimized. You ask God to make the storm go away from your house, yet the tornado hit.
that real life is happening, and it's a way that God is producing in you steadfastness. So that we can be purified. There's a purification that comes only through struggle. Do you know this water, this pure life water, has been boiled and cooled, filtered. It has been flushed. It has gone through reverse osmosis 2 or 3 times. It has gone from ice to steam to water, and it's continued to be filtered so that it is purified. It's gone through quite a lot so that it can be purified. Some of you right now, you're going through quite a lot. And you have asked God to remove it. You have asked God to take it away. You have asked God to make it stop, and it hasn't. It's continued. And there's a potential here for you to become bitter, to become Mara. There's a potential for you to become strife-filled and quarrelsome, to be Merhaba. But there's also a place for you to become Masa, tested and tried, purified. If you take on that perspective, you can face suffering, you can face trials, you can face disappointments and failures in this world, because you know